Blog Talk Radio.
I wanna go.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, bringing to you His great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. He's our Judge. He's a lawgiver, and Yahweh is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for once again allowing us to come before you another night, bringing to you His great, holy, and exalted word. Tonight we will be discussing and contrasting ancient Egypt versus modern Egypt. And it's very important to understand and know the difference. But the most important thing is to understand what Egypt actually means. And then you can understand why Yahweh speak in the language that He does concerning Egypt. And then you can also begin to understand what modern Egypt is all about. And I think sometimes we forget, tricked in thinking this Egypt is somehow different than the past, but it is not. So let's get into our discussions about this modern Egypt. The very first time ancient Egypt was mentioned, it was not mentioned by the name of Egypt. It was mentioned by its Hebrew name. And you'll find this in the book of Genesis, the chapter. in the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. And I also may add and let our brothers and sisters know that the various nations of the world are merely men or sons of fathers, which be named after the various fathers of the earth. So, for example, if we read the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, this is what it says. The generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. And the first son is Japheth. And the reason why Japheth is mentioned first is because he is the oldest of all Noah's sons. Even though the mass majority of the time when you read about Noah's sons, Shem is often mentioned first. Not because he's the oldest, for he is not. He is the youngest. But because Yahweh will make him the firstborn, he's mentioned first. But really, Japheth is first. Then you have in the fifth verse, by these were the isles of the Gentiles, or make that the sixth verse instead. And the sons of Ham. Now, Ham is the second oldest son to Noah. And these are his sons. The first son of Ham is Cush. And Canaan. These four sons were Ham's. But little people Ham is Egypt. Mizraim is just the Hebrew pronunciation or the Hebrew translation or transliteration of Egypt. Egypt is just a Greek word, but Mizraim is what our people, is the name our people will call Egypt. Second son of Ham. Of course, Ham's first son is Cush, which is the Hebrew of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is just a Greek word also. But our focus is on Mizraim, which is Egypt. And this is the first time Egypt is mentioned, but by its original name. And then Mizraim had sons. And you'll read about his sons, the 13th verse. And Mizraim begot Ludim and Anayim, Lehabayim, Naphtuhim, Hayim, and Pathrusayim, and Kaslusim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim. These were the sons of Mizraim, which is Egypt. Seven sons. And then you find this Egypt, Mizraim, is who Yahweh will ultimately use to introduce his name to the world through this nation. So it's not surprising that Mitzrayim is the second son of Ham. And you might ask yourself, who is Ham? Well, Ham represents the whole continent that we know as Africa, that whole land where Shem resided, where most of that is the land that's called in the scriptures called the land of Ham. And we're going to deal with that, the various nations and their ancient names. But since the beginning of time, Egypt, ancient Egypt, there was no confusion at all about their place in the world and what they stood for. Even when our people first began to encounter the Egyptians, this is what Abram said in the book of Genesis when he left his father's house. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. This is what he said. 10 verse, Genesis 12 and 10. And we're talking about ancient Egypt versus modern Egypt. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he had come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarai's wife, "Behold now, I know that you are a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come pass when the Egyptians shall see you, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save you alive." Of course, they didn't kill Abram for Sarai. They thought she was fair, as he said they would. And they approached her and they warned her, as he knew they would. But he thought something would happen to him as a result of it. And maybe something would have happened. Or maybe they would have attempted to do something, since they thought she was so beautiful that they would warrant her. And they did warrant her. And they approached him. So early on, there was already thoughts about this Egypt from the beginning. And just to show you another interaction that goes to the heart of what Egypt actually means. In the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. Because like I said, a lot of times we seem to forget what really ancient Egypt is and modern Egypt. They will have you to believe all ancient Egypt was a great place. There was just all kind of schools of learning. All the great prophets, all the great men of antiquity, all passed through Egypt to learn. They all had something to do with Egypt. and they all got their great learning from Egypt. And they talked about Moses and Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and many others. And so they will have you to believe Egypt was great. Greatness did not come from their just great minds that they had. If that's the case, then why is America so great? And why are they on the top of all the other nations? Is it because they had great minds? No, this is what Yahweh would do when he wanted to make a name for himself. In the book of Genesis 37, watch what it says. In the 25th verse. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Yehuda said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers were content. Then there passed by a Midianite merchantman, and they drew and lifted up yourself out of the pit, and sold yourself to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Yosef was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. And returned to his brother and said, "The child is not, and I, where shall I go?" And they took Yosef's coat, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it is your son's coat or not." And he knew it, and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him, and Yosef is without doubt torn in pieces." And Yaakov tore his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his loins, mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. This is how Egypt became so great. The word Egypt means bondage. And Yahweh called Egypt the house of bondage. And what is bondage? Bondage is slavery. Bondage is when you buy and sell men and women as servants and slaves. And this is what Egypt would do. This is what they were well known for all through antiquity. This is what they were known for. But little do people know, this is the same as modern Egypt. What in the world do you think modern Egypt is known for? No different. Because all Egypt means is bondage. And this is what the Creator prophesied to our people in this same Genesis, the 15th chapter. in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, this is what it says in the 13th verse. And he said to Abram, know for certain. In other words, this is a fact. This is a surety. This is, make no mistake about it, that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. 400 years. A lot of people ask me all the time, what if we don't leave in 400 years? What if nothing happens in 400 years? What if the dates are wrong? In other words, we got a lot of doubters. They don't believe what Yahweh is saying. He said, we shall be in Egypt for 400 years. But not in Egypt, but we shall be in land that is not ours, and we shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And that's what Yahweh is saying. He's saying, not only are you going to be a stranger in a land that is not yours, you're going to serve the stranger in a land that is not yours, and you're going to be afflicted in that same land for 400 years. But after those 400 years, this is what Yahweh said is going to happen. And also that nation, whom they shall serve, will I judge, because Yahweh is going to judge them. And afterwards, after these 400 years, shall they come out with great substance, because the sentence is 400 years. And how would our people even begin to get to Egypt or this land? Well, Yahweh prophesied that as well in the book of Deuteronomy 28. Turn there. And what are we? We're talking about ancient Egypt versus modern Egypt. And I'm here to tell you there is no difference from the two. All both mean is bondage. And so therefore, even though our people working every day, making money every day, getting checks every week, going home to their families, eating at the table with their families and children, just to wake up to do the same thing the next day. And even though they seem to aspire to be great in this modern day Egypt, no matter how far you go, you're still in bondage. And I want you to see this. But first, before you see this, I want you to see how you was going to get into modern Egypt. Watch what it says. Because they sold yourself into Egypt. It says in the book of Deuteronomy 28. And watch this. Just show you what will happen. One of the first things that Yahweh would do in the book of Deuteronomy 28, watch this 27th verse. It says, Yahweh will smite you with the boils of Egypt, and with the tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof you cannot be healed. In other words, you got to look this up. You got to remember when one of the plagues that Yahweh cursed the Egyptians with tumors and boils all over their body, scab and an itch. Yeah, this was a
This is how Yahweh smited Egypt. This was one of the plagues. And then we go to the 60th verse. Turn there. So as we can see, what happened in ancient Egypt is also happening today. What do you think people got today? What do you think cancer is? Cancer is boils and tumors. It's growth that grows not only on the outside of your body, but also on the inside. And yes, these are things that Yahweh will smite you with. Watch the 60th verse. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cling unto you. Also, every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, then will Yahweh bring upon you until you are destroyed. And who wouldn't be afraid of all the diseases? You got to read these 10 plagues so you can see what Yahweh did to Egypt. But he didn't just do that to ancient Egypt. What do you think is happening today in modern Egypt? Our people are dying by the boatloads. The number one death, cause of death today, is heart disease. The disease of the heart. And the heart is the number one thing we need to live. And watch this. Continue reading. Watch what it says. Also, 62nd verse. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you will not obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And it shall come to pass that as Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so Yahweh rejoiced over you to destroy you and to bring you to nothing. And what are we today? Nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. And Yahweh shall scatter you among all people, from the one end of the earth even to the other. And there you shall serve other gods, neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. But Yahweh shall give you there a trembling heart, failing of the eyes, sorrow of the mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you. And you shall fear day and night. And you shall have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, what Elohim, and what evening. And at evening you will say, what Elohim, and what morning. For the fear of your heart, which you shall fear. For the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. Watch this. And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. Because all Egypt means is bondage by the way whereof I spoke to you. You shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold to your enemy for bondmen and bondwomen. And no man shall buy you. In other words, no man shall get you out of this situation. But you're going into Egypt again. But this time when you go, you're going by ships. And history has fulfilled this prophecy. Our people, part of the house of Israel. Mainly Yehuda. And some others. Ancient Egypt versus modern Egypt. It don't matter. One is modern, one is ancient, but they both are bondage. This is what they are known for. And no matter how far you go in Egypt, which is bondage, you really ain't went nowhere. Let me show you. Going back to the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, and watch what this says. And our people have rose so far in modern Egypt. They talk like they want to leave. They talk like they want to go home. But indeed, they don't believe this. They don't believe we're leaving America. Nor do they believe that they're going to be delivered and saved at all. They don't have no timetable. They're not looking for the Most High. They're not looking for his servants. They're not trying to do anything different than what they were told and taught in bondage. And that's to work your tail off. Because you're in bondage. You're a bondman. You're a bondwoman. But watch this in the book of Genesis 50. Starting at the very first verse. And Yosef fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Yosef commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his fathers. And the physician embalmed Israel. 40 days were fulfilled for him. In other words, they took 40 days just to embalm him. For so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. That's not a practice of an Israelite. That's not what we do, but that's what the Egyptians did. This is their practice. And the Egyptian mourned for him, look at this, 70 days. Yaakov, Israel, our father, was so important, they mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Yosef spoke to the house of Pharaoh, saying, if not I found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, behold, I die. In my grave, which I have dug for me in the land of Canaan, there shall you bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up, I pray you, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up, bury your father according as he made you swear. Now, you notice Yosef, he was the ruler in Egypt. But yet, he still had to ask Pharaoh, can he go bury his father? In other words, just like you got to ask your boss, can I take today off? Can I leave and go take care of some business at lunch? My parents have passed. Can I get off work? My child is sick. Can I take them to the hospital? And why? Because you're in bondage. So really, Yosef, as important as he was, his sibling was bondage still. And Yosef went up to bury his father and with him. went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Yosef and his brothers and his father's house. Only the little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went out with them both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atah, which is beyond the Jordan. There they mourned with a great and very grievous lamentation, and made a mourning for his father 7 days. In other words, they mourned him again 7 more days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning of the floor of Atah, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians." Therefore, the name of it was called Abel Mitzrayim, which is beyond the Jordan. And his sons did to him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, buried him in the cave of the field of Mount Pelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Yosef returned into Egypt, he and his brothers, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Yosef's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Yosef will perhaps hate us and will certainly return to us all the evil which we did to him." And they sent a messenger to Yosef saying, "Your father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say to yourself, forgive, I pray you now, the trespass of your brothers and their sins. For they did unto you evil, and now we pray you, forgive trespass of the servants of the Elohim of your father." And Yosef wept when they spoke to him. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." And Yosef said to them, "Fear not, for am I in a place of Elohim? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But Elohim meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, fear you not. I will nourish you and your little ones and comfort them and spoke kindly to them." And Yosef dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Yosef lived 110 years. And Yosef saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Yosef's knees. And Yosef said to his brothers, "I die." Now watch this now. This is not the spirit where all the wisdom is, all the money is, all the best gold and fabrics and all the wise men. Watch what Yosef said. Say, and Yosef said to his brothers, "I die. And Elohim will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob." And Yosef took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "Elohim will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones from here. Get me out of here." In other words, even though I'm going to be dead and they're going to bury me in Egypt, take my bones out of here. Yosef didn't even want his bones there in Egypt, in bondage. Not so with our people. Died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. But he made it clear. He made them swear. Look here, man. When Yahweh visits y'all, take me up out of here. And Yahweh did visit them, as he will visit us. And let me show you when Yahweh visited the children of Israel in Egypt and how Yahweh visited the children of Israel. And you read about this in the book of Exodus. Let us turn there. Exodus, the 7th chapter. Well, make that Exodus the 6th chapter. And I'm going to start reading the 26th verse. 6 and 26. And this is what it says. These are the Aaron and Moshe, to whom Yahweh said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are that which spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moshe and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when Yahweh spoke to Moshe in the land of Egypt. Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, I am Yahweh. Speak you to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. And Moshe said before Yahweh, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh listen to me? And then we go into the 7th chapter, the 1st verse. And Yahweh said to Moshe, see, I made you an Elohim to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall speak to Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Because this is the only reason why Yahweh rose up this country, this son of Ham, anyway, to make a name for himself. But this son of Ham has always been just a slave owner. Just a slave owner. That's all he's ever been. This is modern Egypt. Ancient Egypt, rather. Ancient Egypt. And before I show you modern Egypt again, let me just show you. Of course, when Yahweh visited Egypt, he visited Egypt, Prophet Moses. And this is what Moses would do. In the book of Exodus, the 13th chapter, and watch what it says, the 19th verse. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, for he has straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you. So, in other words, our people in Egypt already knew the prophecy that Yahweh was coming to get them. Yahweh would visit them. And Yahweh would take them out of the land of Egypt. And this was passed down from generation to generation through Yosef. Now, do this man that rose so high in Egypt, if he wanted to get out of Egypt, why wouldn't the lowest of the totem pole want to get out of Egypt? And he wanted out. He didn't even want his bones to stay there, because he knew what Egypt meant. It just means bondage. They had him in bondage. No matter how high he rose, he was just a high-paid slave. That's all he was. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, for he straightly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away from here with you. And they took their journey from Sukkoth and encamped in Etam at the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Ancient Egypt versus modern Egypt. And oftentimes our people, we look at ancient Egypt as something special, and all it was a house of bondage. This is what the place is called. This is what it means. But we got our people running around talking about the Egyptians and talking Egyptology stuff, and they were slave owners. And likewise in modern Egypt. That's where we at today. But our people, now they making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. You see these contracts with the baseball players and the football players and the basketball players and the entertainers. So-and-so made this much in a year. Kevin Hart is the highest paid entertainer, a comedian. What do that mean? Bondage. Watch what the Creator said in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter. Let's see if all the millions and hundreds of millions of dollars is going to save you. Matter of fact, let's see if it's going to save anybody. And I'm here to tell you it is not. In the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, this is what's going to happen in modern Egypt. We just looked at how Yahweh visited our people in ancient Egypt. But in modern Egypt, this is what Yahweh said in the second chapter, starting at the very first verse. Something that our people don't want to do. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. When, Yahweh? Before the decree bring forth. When, Yahweh? Before the day pass as the chaff. When, Yahweh? Before the fierce anger of Yahweh comes upon you. Before the day of Yahweh's anger come upon you. Seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth, which have worked his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be that you be hid in a day of Yah's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken. Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday. And Ashkelon shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Keratites, and all these things you want to know about. The word of Yahweh is against you, Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy you, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the seacoast shall be a dwelling, and cottages for shepherds, and folds for flocks. Watch this. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Yehuda. And why Yehuda? Because Yehuda will be saved first. Watch what it says. They shall feed thereupon. Houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. And watch this. For Yahweh, down he shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Just like in ancient Egypt, where Yahweh will visit them through his servant Moshe, Yahweh also will visit our people, even in modern Egypt. Nothing different. And when our people was in Egypt, whether it's ancient or whether it was modern, they faced the same condition. What is that condition? Well, let me show you. when we read about ancient Egypt, it seemed not to, it seemed like everybody could understand it. Watch what it says in ancient Egypt, in the book of Exodus, first chapter. This is not hard to understand at all what happened. Watch what it says in the 8th verse. Now there was a new king over Egypt, which knew not Yosef. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falls out any war, they join also with our enemies, fight against us, and so get them out of the land. In other words, the Egyptians are already had in their mind, one day these people are going to want to leave. They're going to want to get up out of this land, and they will join on to our enemies to get up out of this land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. That sounds like modern slavery, modern bondage, where you got many of our people out in the fields picking cotton, tobacco. And then you got the other ones building all the various cities in America, in New York, Washington, D.C., where all the famous buildings were built by our hands, our ancestors' hands. And if that wasn't enough, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, the name of the other Puah, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him, but if it's a daughter, then she shall live. And what you think he did with our people? Like in the Tuskegee Institute, where they were, men had syphilis and they wouldn't even treat it. They just pretended that they was treating these diseases just to see how they would affect us. How many diseases did we have that they test on us? Really, to kill us. That's ancient Egypt. What in the world you think going to happen in modern Egypt? Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. You think something different is going to happen? No, it's not different. Because Egypt means bondage. In the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, and don't forget, Yahweh said he shall bring us to Egypt again by ships. This is called Egypt. It's just modern Egypt. In the book of Jeremiah 30, and watch what it says. Starting at the very first verse, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, thus speaks Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write you all the words that I have spoken to you in the book. For lo, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, says Yahweh. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yehuda. For thus says Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now and see whether a man does labor with child. Why do I see? This is what Jeremiah is saying. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in labor, and all faces are turned into paleness? Why do I see this? What is going on? What type of sickness is going through them? What type of affliction are they being afflicted with? And let me tell you what it's called. Hard bondage. Watch what it says. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. And I think our people, they focus on one thing, being saved out of it. But they skipping right over the fact that you got to be saved out of something. In Jacob's trouble. That's what it's called. And what is Jacob's trouble? Jacob's trouble is hard bondage. Watch this. I want you to see this. In the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, because I don't know what and where we think we really are. Watch what it says. In the book of Isaiah 14:1, for Yahweh will have mercy on Yaakov, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cling to the house of Yaakov. And the people shall take them, and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahweh, for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, who captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass today, that Yahweh shall give you rest. Rest from what, Yahweh? From your sorrow. Rest from what, Yahweh? From your fear. Rest from what, Yahweh? From the hard bondage wherein you were made to serve. President of the United States of America, brothers and sisters, you still a slave. I don't care what money you got, what business you own. You're selling that you can arise to in Egypt is bondage upon man and upon woman. And who want that to be their selling? The beautiful thing about Yahweh. Yahweh hit a different ceiling than we have for ourselves. Our ceiling that we have for ourselves is to rise in Egypt in bondage to become something great. Not so with Yahweh. Let me show you Yahweh selling for our people in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. This is his selling for ancient Egypt. And then I'm going to show you the selling for modern Egypt. This is what it says for ancient Egypt. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the very first verse. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohim but me. You see how Yahweh bust through the ceiling? In other words, Yahweh never wanted us in bondage. He never wanted us in no house of bondage, in no land of bondage. That was just us. Furthermore, speaking about ancient Egypt, watch this. In the book of Hosea, the 13th chapter. 13. Whether you poor in Egypt or rich in Egypt, you still the same. You're in the same boat. And it's called bondage. In the book of Hosea, the 13th chapter, the 4th verse. Yet I am Yahweh, your Elohim from the land of Egypt. Remember me? You shall know no Elohim but me, for there is no Savior besides me. See, our ceiling is to bring us out, to take us out, and not to linger and stay, dwell, and to become the greatest slave we can become. Know yourself. Watch this in the book of Hosea, the 11th chapter, the very first verse. Still talking about ancient Egypt. 11 and 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Yahweh didn't want his son in Egypt, because he knew what Egypt stood for. It stood for bondage. And the only thing you can be in Egypt is a bond man or a bond woman. No matter how much money you made, no matter what your position was, no matter what your job was, that's all you would be, a bondman or by woman. But what could you become? What is Yahweh's aspirations for you in modern Egypt? That was ancient Egypt. But what about modern Egypt? Well, watch what he says in the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. In Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, starting at the 9th verse. For thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, in your days, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass when you shall show these people all these words, and they shall say to you, why has Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Yahweh our Elohim? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says Yahweh, and have walked after other Elohims, other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not listen to me. In other words, it's one thing that our fathers have walked after other deities. They walked after them. They served them. They worshiped them. They forsaken me and not kept my law. But you done worse. And what's worse than that? What's worse than serving, walking, worshiping another god that ain't a god? Yahweh said you did worse, because you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart. That's what's worse. Therefore, I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve other deities day and night, where I will show you no favor. Where do you think that is? That is modern Egypt. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh. Now, this is where the goodness and the mercy of Yahweh is. Because his ceiling is way higher than ours. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that it shall no more, he said, Yahweh liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh lives, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their fathers. See how Yahweh's ceiling is versus our ceiling? Here, we don't even want to leave Babylon. We don't even want to see if there's an end time, an end date. What if after 400 years we don't go? What if we do go? And I'm scared to leave a place, not even inspired to leave a place, not even trying to leave a place. That means bondage. Watch what it says. Jeremiah 23, the 7th verse. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh. They shall no more say Yahweh liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. You won't even say that no more. But Yahweh lives, which brought up, which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries where I driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. Who want that? Dwell in their own land. Who don't want to aspire to be a free people? Who don't want to be delivered and go home? You know this ain't your home. If it was your home, wouldn't they treat you better? If it was your home, would they continue to remind you that you're nothing but a slave? Would you still have to go to them for one of all things? and serve them for the want of all things? Ancient Egypt and modern Egypt. No different. And it is time. It is time that our people wake up to the truth, to the fact. That all our people was in the past, no matter how far they arose up this ladder, and no matter how far they rise up this ladder today, just remember, all you are, no matter your position, no matter your income, no matter your status, you're bombing a bomb woman in Egypt. And if you want to aspire to be anything in Egypt, whether it was ancient Egypt, whether it's modern Egypt, aspire to be as our righteous fathers thought to be. And that was to be a free people living in their own land, dead or alive. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you.
Ooh, hey, yeah, we're gonna fly, yeah, we're gonna fly, yeah,
yeah, arise. Time for the light has come. The glory of Yah has risen up on his sons and his daughters. The darkness is uncovered. Pull sheets up of our lovers. We're perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city of refuge. The fountains of living waters. The showers we with righteousness. Restores my order and turns this song to a king. A song for my soul to sing that brought me down very low. My garments white like the wings. Shaddaiah, praise be the Most High that brought me out of insanity, crushed the towers of vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee. I'm now y'all's planet.
We don't
see.
Rise to the sea, we don't march to the sea, we don't dance, we don't sleep, we don't run to the sea.
Measure waters came to your ankle. The method did repeat. Waters came right to your knee. Before you further Joe Goins, waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fists left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow on thoughts of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolishness forever gone. Your spirit resting on my bones. Brother